Welcome to this week's episode of Observations. I am your host, Sovereign Sire, and I am brought to you by the good people or not so good people at julieland.com. And with me, as always, is the curmudgeonly, the devastatingly handsome, the devilishly, I don't know, cute, Richard Avery.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon.
And I'm here with Alex Blagg, who is a writer and a funny person and produces things. And he survives by being creative, which is like having a fucking unicorn in here. So welcome.
Yeah, I also happen to have a big magical horn sticking out of my forehead. So it is exactly like having a unicorn in here.
It kind of is. You like more like a Pegasus.
Yeah.
Like maybe you alighted.
Yeah,
like,
and wings as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, just alight into the room.
Sure. Sure.
So this episode is a topical.
Topics.
Internet and writing. I thought that would be kind of an interesting thing to talk about with someone that's a writer and that does your show At Midnight uses social media. But more than that, you used to do...
You can say it. I was a blogger. Okay?
You were a blogger.
I was fucking
like that's...
gross, dirty blogger.
My dear friend Desi Jidekin also, she is currently as an editor for like five different...
She's very funny
things,
on Twitter.
She's very funny. And so I know from firsthand experience, because we lived together, exactly what her...
Oh, you guys lived together?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's... I get it, the kind of... Because I write too, and it's like watching... The struggle is real to kind of... just the amount of work, the amount of content that's needed...
Yeah.
Is crazy. You know, she's like, I have a job for you. So you do 10 blogs a week and then, you know, and it's that thing where it's like, and that's, it's, yeah, the internet is this massive ocean. And,
bullshit.
And
yeah.
It needs, and it's hungry.
It is
and it's
so
like you're just dumping content into the gaping maw of the abyss.
Always said, I think we live in this just this consuming society. And whatever comes out today, it's like by tomorrow, who gives a fuck?
That's true.
It's just being just.
But at the same time, it's like number of Twitter followers, verified badges, all of these things, hits, clicks. What does it really mean? Because I feel at the same time, people rely on that.
Mm-hmm.
How many Twitter followers someone has to determine whether or not, there's a magazine, a popular men's magazine, where they determine their sort of the month by, I was told, by looking at girls that have a certain number of followers.
Wow.
The thinking being that, the higher the follower count, the
right.
more likely the girl is to tweet links that'll get hits. But then
Even though you can buy those
right
now.
But then another friend of mine that's a director, an adult director, did an experiment where he did four movies where he cast girls only that had over 100,000 followers.
Uh-huh.
And the idea was he was going to see if it actually affected sales in terms of how many people were buying product.
Right.
The idea being girls with 100,000 followers, they're posting
their
links
fans.
To the things, there's going to be more VOD, more whatever. And he said after four movies... each movie with eight girls, because it was for a girl series that was already did well. So it was this thing where it was something that was a consistent seller. So they could track whether or not the sales were up or down. So they had well-heeled series. They knew what its numbers are always going to do. And they put in every girl over 100,000. He said it made no difference. There was no difference in sales.
I would have told him that before they did it.
Yeah.
Well, he knew, but I think he was trying to prove a point to the overlords that was not how he wanted to cast his movies.
Yeah.
You know? And it was basically trying to prove a point, which is it doesn't matter. But it seems I feel even in when I went to, I had a mainstream agent approach me and they were obsessed with my follower count. That was going to be significant.
Mm.
And so you see people kind of blindly that matters, right?
Yeah,
that's going to.
Yeah. We've created all of these new sort of status signifiers that it feels like real data. Because I think in people's minds, it's a way to quantify whatever.
The bullshit.
The bullshit, but fame or relevance or what people are interested in. And it's we have all these numbers we can point to. I mean, YouTube being the chief among that, where it's an entire economy built around the idea of views but what do those even mean and who's watching them? And I think every new platform that comes out, Periscope now, hearts. What the fuck is up? What are these
I know.
Why does it matter? If you look at the top Periscopers right now, there's just random people with 15 million hearts, but it's does that mean anything?
Right.
I don't know. I think we're just obsessed with knowing definitively and quantitatively who matters.
It's just another way of measuring it, mm-hmm. or it's, you know,
well, like prestige economy,
right?
But when you were working as a blogger, mm-hmm. how much were you guys relying on stuff like that? And
a lot.
What did you
learn?
That's
always been. I mean, it's one of. I'm glad you brought it up because this has always been the thing about the internet that I've always been the most kind of fascinated with and have had this like lifelong love hate relationship where in many ways, like, you know, my entire career came from the internet. I started a blog in like 2003 and kind of grew an audience on that and got the attention of people that were able to kind of hire me to, you know, run a bigger site and you know, and one thing led to another and it's gotten me where I'm at today in a lot of ways. And so, and obviously I have a certain amount of gratitude for that. Mm-hmm. And I see how like, it's a tool that I used to kind of help serve my own purposes, in my career. But at the same time, like once I started doing it professionally and I was like running a site for, you know, for VH1, for MTV, mm-hmm. Everything becomes like quantified content where at the time right. I was thinking like, oh, I'm going to write this long, funny rant about whatever, you know? And I thought about that from an artistic standpoint or a creative right. standpoint of like, I'm going to create something that people are going to read and laugh and like and share and whatever. And then you realize that everything gets just boiled down to the numbers of, you know, what it is. And that right. always just depressed me because it was like, I think it's like, even the word content is right. such a, like, it's just like product factory. Like we're just right. cranking out.
But it
content.
Kind of feels like that. Like, cause there, yeah. it's like this sort of thing of, clickbait, like the mm-hmm. kind of like I got really sad when I was following the Time magazine feed on Twitter, and it's mm-hmm. like every headline reads like clickbait.
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah. this is like Time fucking magazine.
Yeah,
because or, I mean, it's not a magazine. Is it still a magazine? I don't even know if it's in print anymore. But it, the legacy of the brand.
Yeah,
is
because I, behind
I,
every
I just said legacy of the brand.
Because the legacy of the brand, of course. Behind every magazine or every, you know, television show or media, whatever, there's like a bunch of people who have a job whose job is to create, you know, let's call it content because that's what right. we're talking
that's
about.
That's all it is.
And put it out there. And they've got somebody behind them with a gun to their head that's pointing at like unique users and page yeah. views and click-through rates. And everything gets just like boiled down into what those numbers are.
I can tell you... Being around as long as I have in the history of all this, I always tell people I can see how it affected a lot of companies I've worked for through the years. How the 10 years ago they didn't care about that stuff. 8 years ago, what is that stuff? And then 5, it is important stuff.
Yeah.
And it is, and how important the internet is, and how Twitter's changed everything. And now it, like you said, there's somebody above that person. They have a whole
yeah.
companies now have whole social media departments. Where
but,
a few years
but
ago,
because,
they didn't have
because of that, because they want, and naturally people want to keep their jobs and their right. livelihood. So what they have to do is Time Magazine, if the clickbaity BuzzFeed sort of vernacular headline is what's driving clicks, and it is, then it's like they have to become that because that's what works. And it's like you can measure, you can A-B test everything. And like, I just think it's creating what the problem with that is it's creating a homogenization of all these sites are starting to sound the same.
Right.
And like every point of, like that was what was interesting about the internet in like 05, 06 yep. on, you know, the last few years is you would have, you know, people that were being just like fiercely original and honest and you had voices that, you know, were interesting and you would
well, yeah, because I think it's hard to think of this idea that somewhere there actually is an algorithm to success. And that if you just, you know, put the talking head and part their hair on the right side of their head and have them speak in at the right like pitch and timbre, that like that's going to somehow like click into your reptilian brain and make you click.
Yeah.
Like that idea is like so scary. There's someone that's tinkering that out because like.
But yeah. it's so funny nowadays in the whole content thing. I get a kick out of, like you said, was like when I started 10 years ago. My big thing was I want to be unique. I want to be mm-hmm. different. And I looked at everything that was out there and I said, I ain't going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
And so trying to be different is really difficult. It's a lot harder. And I remember just starting out and just seeing where you said, like, you could find different stories and different words and different opinions and different visions. Now everything's the same. I don't care if you look at the news, the Huffington Post of the world, or the Daily Beast. Everybody's stuck at this. It's all the same.
It just feels like, it feels like rote. And it's just like, it gets so, the whole internet has become so boring to me. And, like, even Twitter, like, you know, I've always, for whatever reason, been, because I'm a nerd, I guess, and because I like this shit. I feel like I am guilty of all the things that I'm talking about, right, too, where I still will post things to Twitter and be like, look, like refreshing like a monkey to see how many favorites I'm getting.
I don't even know what a favorite is, but every comedian I've had on has been like, if my tweet doesn't get enough faves, and I'm like, I don't even know. Like, yeah, I don't think I've ever given. Star.
It's
I've
meaningless.
Never, like,
I would rather totally have retweets.
I know. I asked Desi to explain to me. I was like, so then they fave it, and then what happens?
It is
and
the
she was like,
lowest.
Well, then it goes on fave star.
Yeah, but
like,
star,
and then what happens?
It's like it's the lowest bar of like a. It's like basically someone giving you a thumbs up for your thought or your joke or whatever. It doesn't mean anything.
You're like validated. Oh my god, they. Love me.
It's like,
love
okay,
me.
This thing that I just posted is not, for me, usually the thinking is like, is this completely crazy? Am I finally going to be exposed for just being like, having like a lunatic in the middle of a meltdown or something? Because I feel like that's usually the place that my jokes come from. Are
well,
like
you, didn't Midnight just have like a panelist search?
Yeah, we did this thing called Twitter. Points Me, where it was, the idea was that we would look to Twitter and to Vine, Instagram, the various social platforms that we're involved with, and we gave people kind of a hashtag that they could use on their jokes that we would track everything in that. And then people that were really funny, we thought, you know, we would kind of narrow them down and pick somebody that would come on the show to compete against two of our, like, you know, kind of established famous comedians or uh-huh. whatever. And we found this guy, Chris Cubas, out of Austin, who was great. And he's a comedian too. He's a stand-up, and was hilarious, and he did amazing. And I think we would like to do it again. And my hope as a producer next time is that I'd actually like to get someone who's not a stand-up, who's like never performed like on their feet in front of
just
people.
A really funny Dennis.
Just a funny, yeah.
The lean over, Adam Wilson.
Yeah, somebody like that. Yeah. I mean, I think there's so many funny people out there, and like, it's cool.
I was wanting to like end it on a positive. Let's talk about the democracy.
I have found
of,
so many
media
people
too.
And friends, people that have become my friends and like that I've met and that I never would have connected with, never would have known.
I wouldn't
be here right now.
Can I tell you something?
You wouldn't. I was so happy.
Sorry to interrupt, but can I just say that yesterday I was just saying that to Nikki was over, and I was saying to Nikki that. I was showing her on Instagram that some girl contacted me about the photos, and I was telling her like, and then on Twitter I've met people, and on Facebook I have this one fan that loves what I do. She always favorites everything that I do. And I was saying to Nikki just yesterday, like, all these people that I've met because of the internet and all this craziness, I never would have met if it wasn't for these platforms. Mm-hmm. Like, just a handful of people I can think of, like,
yeah,
and from around the world.
Yeah,
I would have never done porn. I met J.M. Darling online on Twitter, and he flew me out to New York. I'm like, totally different life than I've ever lived in my entire life.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's like
he didn't get me into porn, but it got me to New York. And then I got scouted by other people. But like,
it's always say to people like my career, all the people I've met because of it, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's mind blowing actually.
Yeah,
and all the things that I've done.
I mean, almost my entire life can be traced. I mean, this is really crazy where, like, you know, I mean, I think I've kind of already gone through my career. It definitely all started, you know, from that first, like, getting online, starting a blog, basically.
Right,
led
yeah.
directly to where yeah. I'm at now. Like, everything kind of...
If there was no internet, there'd be no you.
Every relationship that needed to happen for me to kind of get to, you know, where I'm at, which is not even like, I still have a lot further I'd like to go. Like, I'm not saying like, it's not like I'm Judd Apatow or something, but like, I think he's, you know, I can directly trace it back how one thing's led to the other, but also like, even on a personal level, like, there's actually this one guy that was like an early days blog friend of mine. He used to have a blog. I don't think it's even there anymore. It was called My Blog is Poop. And he was just this really funny dude in New York, this guy Bob Castrone. And he, when I was kind of doing this early days, like we would like comment on each other's blogs, and like we were like one of a small handful of kind of nerdy people doing this certain kind of thing.
The only two people reading each other's blogs, nobody else.
Hey, it was a small community, and we were like writing the kinds of things that like BuzzFeed is doing now, where it would be like funny lists of things or whatever, you know. But anyway, so I went to visit Bob in New York when I was still living in San Francisco, and he had this big party. And at that party, I was like, I love it here. I'm going to move here. And like as the party was winding down, this girl asked me for a cigarette and ended up becoming my wife. Like I married this person that I met through him. Like I never would have been at this guy's house if not for her, you know, if not for our blogs or whatever. And then like all like when we got married, like all, like I looked around and like half the people at my wedding were people that I met from blogging and the internet and stuff. And like it's just crazy. Like I look around at my whole life and it's just like, yeah, it's weird. It's like this is all indirectly like the internet has played for better or worse a big part.
It's almost like the glue that keeps it all together.
Kind of, yeah.
But, I mean, so, you guys are still together?
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. See, we're ending on like a beautiful story.
And they all lived happily ever after.
Yeah, like that's
but also
sweet.
The internet that's so is sweet. Bullshit. And like everything about it is gross.
No, you're undoing it.
It sucks.
Rewind. Well, that was, I don't know, I wanted to end it on a positive note.
No, the internet's great.
But you had to shit on it, Alex. I'd like to thank you personally for shitting all over my dreams. That was amazing. And why don't you tell people where to find you? Like where to kind of...
I can be found on the internet at Alex Blagg on Twitter. That's it.
And then what's your show called?
My show's called At Midnight on Comedy Central's At Midnight.
And what's your bajillion hits?
Bajillionhits.biz. No longer active, but all the stuff I made is still there.
It's
so you
hilarious. I am Sovereign Sire. You can find me on Twitter at Sovereign Sire and on my blog at ilovesov.com. And I think that's... And then, soon, by the time this airs, you can also find me on YouTube at the Wisecrack channel for a show called Boss Bitches of History. Bye, everyone!